That's fair. I think you're half sleeping. Hello, everyone. We'll try it again.
Hello.
Hello. That's good. That's good. Well, boys and girls, it's great to be here. Moms and dads, grandparents, family and friends. It's great to be here at a Children's Day. It's great to hear all of you taking part. It's been so good. Let's give them a wee round of applause again. Come on. Support that. All right, boys. Girls. Brilliant. I often think if we can't support them in church, who is going to support them? So we're encouraging them. So they've done so well today. So my name's Phil, and I currently work 2 days a week for Tandragee Free Presbyterian Church as a youth outreach worker. And we're working in schools at the minute and pop-up Bible clubs and local parks and areas around County Armagh. And then I'll do a little bit of volunteer work for Serve Youth the rest of the week. And that's basically encouraging young adults to get involved in mission. And this year, there'll be young people who have been on teams will be leading teams this year to three different parts of Romania, three teams there, and then one up to Bush Mills there in the north coast. So I've just asked you to pray for those. I want to thank you for supporting young Harry Kennedy from your church as he led a team there recently to Lithuania. And so what a blessing Harry has been to us as well. Well, let's do our prayer drill first, boys and girls. Anybody going to help me? I've got some prizes here, by the way. Anybody like these sweets? Put your hands up. Who wants them? Come on. My goodness. I thought you'd be running up to grab them there. Well, I'm going to give you a couple of these, okay, for people that can answer questions, all right? So we'll give these out in a minute. But I'm thinking about our prayer drill, and our prayer drill goes like this. You ready? P. Come on, you do it with me. Here we go. Come on. P-R-A-Y. Okay, so we're going to see if the adults and all can do it as well. Okay, so everybody, I'm watching out, and if they don't do it, they can come up and show you. Okay, is that a deal? Where do you see this? Ready? Shake your hands out. Come on now, we're going to pray. P-R-A-Y. Wow. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the word of the living God, and we just pray you'll bless your word now. And we just thank you for all that you've done already, do, and continue to do. And we pray that you'll help me now and hide me behind a cross in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, a few nonconformists there, boys and girls, but we'll not get them up, okay? Right, so what we're going to do, we're going to think about one man today, okay? One man. And his story is found in the... Well done. What's your name? You got it right. Do you want the prize? Come on up, quickly. I have a 3-second rule. See, if you don't get it in 3 seconds, I eat it. 3, 2, 1. Oh, well done. You just made it. Okay, so I want us to think today about this. What do you hear? Here, he's in the house down the road. Did you hear? He's in the house down the road. And news had spread like wildfire. There's someone, and he's in a house down the road. He's well known, and everybody wants to see him. And there was one man, and what he was doing, he was writing this all down, recording this. His name was Mark. He's writing down what he's seen. Eyewitnesses. And you see, boys and girls, we find this in the Bible. And you know, the Bible is the word of God. Some people think, oh, the Bible's only an old book. But did you know what? It was written down as the Lord inspired, the Holy Spirit inspired men to write. And they were eyewitnesses very often to what they sing. And in fact, there's more manuscripts in the world today to back up the Bible than any other document in the world. Ancient document. So we think about this, boys and girls. I wonder who they were talking about. The people in the street were talking about. Who is this man? Well, the place is Capernaum. What's the place called? You're still there. Good. And another... In another part of Capernaum, there was another scene unfolding. Well, there was this man I was going to tell you about. He's in another part of Capernaum. And he faces a big challenge. Is he scared of crocodiles? You're still listening, aren't you? You see, I'm thinking here about this particular man. And he faced a great challenge, okay? Because this man, he couldn't walk. And he faced a great challenge that he couldn't walk. And wherever he wanted to go, he was relying on friends bringing him there. Maybe each day he would lie in his little, bed. Yeah, well done. He would lie in his little bed wishing, I wish I could go and do what everybody else is doing. I wish. Ah, he faced a lot of challenges. But you know, this man, he heard about this other man that was in this house that everybody wanted to see in another part of Capernaum. And he heard about this visit. And he knew, I need to see this man. I need to go and see him. But how could he get there? Because we know that he couldn't walk, and he was always confined to almost always his little bed. How was he going to get there? Well, here's what I want us to think about. As we looked in the Bible, and you can turn to it, and it's Mark chapter 2, and you can find there exactly this story. You can find out the answers here. What exactly happened? And in verse 3 of Mark 2, it tells us about, it tells us about how many people? Maybe it should be like that. Depends what way you look at it, okay? Four people. And I'm going to call these four people four friends, okay? And they were going to come to this man's help. And what they were going to do, boys and girls, they were going to get this little man, and he would have been on his bed, but they were going to get his bed, and they were going to carry it. Like, they were going to be like the stretcher bearers. And they were going to carry him through the town of, what did I say it was? Capernaum. Say it after 2, 1, 2. Ah, you're half sleeping. Here we go. 1, 2. That's better. Well done. And so this is what they would do. They would carry him through the streets. Boys and girls, do you know what? These four friends were doing for this man what he couldn't do for himself. And there's a little lesson right away. You see, boys and girls, when I think about that, I think about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he done for us what we could never, ever, ever, ever do for ourselves. You see, boys and girls, he is the one that you've been speaking about. He is the one that eventually came into this world. Approximately 33 years later, he died on a cross. But you were telling us on the third day he rose. He took the punishment that we deserve for our sins. Because the Bible tells us we all have sinned and we fall short of the glory of God. In fact, here's the thing. There's a songwriter, a hymn writer, and he writes a song. And it goes like this. What can wash away my sin? And what's the answer? Is it going to church? Is it being good all the time? Is it tidying your bedroom? I hope you tidy your bedroom anyhow, by the way, okay? But there's lots of things people think, well, the hymn writer would say, what can wash away my sin? The answer is the Lord Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Wow. I wonder today, have you had your sins forgiven? Mom, maybe a dad, grandparent, what about you? You know, lots of people say, I want to go to heaven, but there's only one way to get there. And it's through trusting in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done on the cross at Calvary for sinners such as we. You know, I'm sure this man, as he was carried through Capernaum with these four friends, I'm sure he was, well, we would maybe say he was buzzing. Is that right? He was excited. Here were these four friends, and they were taking him to do what he couldn't do, and he wanted to go and see this man. Well, as they approached, boys and girls, they approached this house that they heard about, okay? And the house, maybe, what's this? House. But as they approached the house, well, I need a volunteer. Quickly, who's going to be my volunteer? Quick. I've got a prize. Ooh, big motivator, isn't it? Here we go. Right, I'm going to come right down here. Who's it going to be this time? Do you want to come up? Come on up quickly. What's your name?
Isabella.
Oh, that's a cracking name. Right, okay. So Isabella, this is what these four friends might have seen when they arrived at the house. People everywhere. And they looked in the window. What might have they have seen? What do you see?
People.
Are they scary looking, are they? When you're up here, it is scary. I'm telling you, you're heading for TV, right? So you look through the window, and you see lots and lots of people, and those people are all looking back at you. And that's exactly what those people would have seen that day, those four friends. They had arrived, and there were people everywhere. Here, do you like those? No? Three, two. Oh, it's just quick. Give her a round of applause. Oh. Well, boys, not only that, but they saw, how are we going to get into the house because it's full of people? We can't get in. Did they do this? Did they say to their friend, hey, mate, I'm sorry, but we're too late. We've missed the boat. The house is packed, and we'll just go back home again. Did they do that? No, they didn't. You see, they didn't give up. There's another little lesson. Sometimes in life, boys and girls, we can face difficult situations and difficult things that we're called to do. Maybe it's even in school. And we just really, I'm giving up. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not doing my homework. I'm not doing this. I'm not. But boys and girls, don't give up. These men learn us a little lesson not to give up. And it's another lesson in the Christian life. Sometimes when tough gets hard, sometimes we just feel like, I'm not going to read my Bible anymore. I'm not going to pray. But God doesn't want us to do that. Here's a lesson for us today. Four men, and they didn't give up. In fact, what they did, they were very creative. And they would think out of the box, as we would say. They looked up, they looked up at this house. And the roof wasn't maybe like your house like this. It was like this. Flat roof. How would they get up? Is there another way into this house? And they were determined. And know what they done? They looked to the side of the house. Here's what they say. Here's what they found. What's this? Stairs. Stairs. Do you know what we can do now? We can climb up the stairs. I want to see you all climb. After two, come on, climb. One, two, three. Oh, you're climbing up there. And it would have been difficult. They were carrying their friend. And up the stairs they would go. And do you know what they would do next? They would set their friend down. Here, you wait there a minute. And we're going to do something here. And on that roof, they would begin to pull the roof apart. I want you to see it pulling the roof apart. Go, come on, boys, come on. Pull it. Let's see the muscles. More. And the hole in the roof got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And they were then able to look down. Can you picture all the people? They're probably going, what are them boys doing? Don't do this at home, by the way. It mightn't end up just as good. But listen. What they were doing was they were making a hole, and they saw the person they were looking for. Who was this man looking for? After two, one, two. Jesus, the Savior. They were looking for the Lord Jesus. And what did they do? Well, they would lower their friend down slowly in his little bed on ropes. Did they do this? All right, mate. Oh, that would have made him worse, wouldn't it? But what they done was they lowered him down slowly. And they brought him to the feet of the Lord Jesus. They brought him to the feet of the Lord Jesus. Wow. What an experience. What was going to happen next? I wonder what Jesus would do. Well, we're going to find out. You see, what I think about this. This man, he perhaps felt he was without hope. What was the point in him even living? But you know, he had come to one now that gives hope. Maybe there's someone in here, maybe an older person, maybe a Christian, maybe a non-Christian, and you feel, what is the point even in life? But you know, the Lord Jesus brings us hope, and he gives us hope. And there's a little song, it says, because he lives, I can live also, and I can face tomorrow. And so the Lord Jesus, he gives power to face the future, and he gives power to live for him, for those that know him as their personal Savior. Power to speak up and tell others. I wonder, can you do that in school? I wonder, can we do that this week? As we go out and about, can we tell others what the Lord Jesus has done for us? You see, this man here, well, he faced two major problems. We know one problem was, the first problem was he couldn't walk. He was at the feet of Jesus. But you know, when the Lord Jesus came to him, he saw another problem. And this is the greatest problem that this man faced. And so what did Jesus do? He was going to help this man with the greatest problem that he had. And it wasn't a physical problem. It was a spiritual problem. You see, I said earlier on, and the little verse in the Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But here's the Lord Jesus. And he loves this man and he cares for this man. And he wants to see this great problem solved in his life. And the Lord Jesus is the answer to our greatest need and to the need of this man as well. And you know, his sin separated him from God. But you know, the Lord Jesus, he would say something to this man, boys and girls. He would, your sins are forgiven. You're forgiven. And only the Lord Jesus Christ can do that. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can do that. You see, the Bible reminds us that the Lord Jesus, and that God himself, he sees not as man sees. For man looks on the outside, and all the other people could just see his physical problem, that he couldn't walk. But the Lord Jesus sees the very heart of each one, each of us. Maybe there's someone here, and you know, we're all dressed up well, and we're all looking well today, and all the rest of it, scrub up well. But you know that God looks in the heart, and he knows today there's only two types of people, those that have trusted him, and those that have not trusted him. And I wonder today, is there someone who hasn't yet trusted the Lord Jesus, and God has spoken to you just now, and showed you your need of a Savior, your need to trust him? And the Lord Jesus, just like this man, he reaches out in love, and he offers you his salvation. You know, that day, that man, his faith made him whole. That man had his sins forgiven, and what a difference that makes. You know, in verse 8, we see evidence. I'll just read it. Verse 8, Mark chapter 2 and verse 8 in closing. And it says, immediately when Jesus received in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves. These were the scribes. These were the religious leaders. And he said to them, why reason ye these things in your heart? Who can forgive sins but Jesus only? Do you know, boys and girls, the religious leaders were criticizing Jesus for what he'd done. And you know, it's easy to be critical. But the Lord Jesus, he wants us to trust him. Not to put up excuses, but to simply surrender our lives to Jesus Christ and to say we are sorry for our sins and receive God's forgiveness. I wonder, will there be someone receive God's forgiveness today? That is the greatest thing that any sinner, that any person can do, even in Newtownards today. But you know, our story's almost over, because that man that day, he had his sins forgiven, but Jesus also dealt with that other problem, because he came in and he couldn't walk, but that day he was able to walk. And the Lord Jesus said, arise, and he got up. And what did he do? He got his little bed, I can just picture him, his little bed, put it on his shoulder, and out he went. Was he sad? No, he was full of the joy of the Lord. Do you know what, sometimes, boys and girls, Christians, you can look at them sometimes, or some Christians you look at and you think they're just about to go to jail. Isn't that right? But the Lord tells us to have, when he comes into our lives, we have joy. And yes, there'll be difficult days, but he wants us to be joyful and to then go and tell others about him and his wonderful love and his salvation. Well, what a story, boys and girls. You've been thinking about the power of God. This has been the power of God in this man's life, and the power of God's not just contained in the Bible, but it continues on, the power of God to save and transform lives. And it's amazing what God can do and is doing in our world. I wonder, is there someone and you're going to trust him today? Now, you maybe did trust him many years ago, and you're maybe far away today. I wonder, will you come back to him and start afresh on that road to serving the Lord Jesus? Thank you.